Coming of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Seed of wisdom, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our plan for the second class is to cover as much as we can of the outline that you should have received, the outline of an encyclical by Pope Pius XII, which was issued in 1950. So, Pope Pius XII issued a document called Humani Generis, H-U-M-A-N-I, and Generis, G-E-N-E-R-I-S. This document was written by the Pope because he saw a doctrinal revolution starting in especially Catholic higher learning, colleges, universities, and seminaries. What I've given you is an outline of that document by Father Joseph Fenton. Every single item, every single error condemned by Pius XII in 1950, in the last now 45 years, has been producing fruit, which in the language of the gospel is cockle. In other words, these pages that you've received are a synthesis, a collection of all the errors which underlie the revolution through which the Catholic Church is now passing. The document was issued on August the 15th, 1950. I will just touch on some of these items. I would commend to all of you to obtain a copy of Pope Pius XII's document. First, by way of introduction, the Holy Father speaks about the evil of discord and error, both in religion and in morals. Now, just to get our vocabulary clear, in the language of the Church, when the two words religion and morals are used, religion refers to doctrine, which is to be believed, and morals refers to the precepts which are to be obeyed. Then he lists the contemporary false opinions and tendencies. Error current outside the Church. That's a large statement. the Americans, most Americans, don't give a second thought to whom they are reading, whether it's a book, periodical, or a newspaper. But the more you read of what is not Catholic, hear it, the more non-Catholic you become. What are some of the factors favoring such errors? And then, of course, describing the errors. Difficulties hindering accurate natural knowledge of the one true God. Can God be known by our native reason without revelation? The answer is yes. What prevents the mind from knowing God as accurately as the mind should? I would say nothing darkens the mind the more in its knowledge about God than sin. In other words, if I want to think clearly, I must strive sincerely to live a good moral life. Our minds, I repeat, are darkened by the commission of sin. Hence the necessity of revelation for religious and moral truth of the natural order. In other words, it is not enough to have just reason to learn about God. God has revealed Himself, and part of our knowledge of God depends on our knowing this revelation. Thus, for example, the Ten Commandments are all knowable by reason alone. But how many people realize, for example, in today's United States, how many Americans know, clearly know, that abortion is murder? That is why God gave us a revelation. The Ten Commandments are the natural law revealed by God. What are some of the hindrances to realization of the credibility of the Catholic faith? Well, I can tell you this. It is not easy nowadays for a Catholic who wants to live the true faith to know what this true faith is. What Catholic newspapers can you read? What Catholic magazines can you read? What books, even with imprimaturs, can you safely read? Then the evolution has an explanation of the origin of all things. And there is an evolution which is legitimate, but there is also an evolution that is false. And how we need to know what is true, say, development of doctrine, that we are to grow in our understanding of our faith. But whom do you read? Take a writer like Gregory Baum, B-A-U-M. All you have to do is read Gregory Baum. I would say an hour a week for 6 weeks, and you will certainly lose your faith. Then there's existential philosophy. What is existential philosophy? It is the philosophy which denies you can ever get to know the essence, the nature of everything, or of anything. All you can know is what exists. There is no common denominator, even to human nature. Historicism. What's historicism? Truth is determined by the time in which it is taught. And Dottie was wrong in past ages, but history is developing. And this is what the Holy Father brings out in thousands of words in his encyclical, The Splendor of Truth. Truth is not determined by history. Anti-intellectual and anti-ecclesiastical religion. Anti-intellectual. And I would say anti-ecclesiastical religion. If I were to describe the call to action, I could not find two better words to describe the call to action. It's how you feel about things that counts. You don't need your intellect. Your feelings determine what is good or bad. And anti-ecclesiastical, you read through the proposed constitution for the church of the call to action. The church which the call to action wants is a church which keeps changing with the times. No pope should be elected for more than 12 years, and the people are to elect him. B. Errors current among Catholics. This is just an outline. The numbers there correspond to the numbers in the encyclical. Then, B, small b under large b, in the field of theology. Here's about concepts and terminology employed in dogma and theology. For example, we believe that when a priest consecrates the bread and wine, transubstantiation takes place. Two of the leading Catholic theologians in modern times, Karl Rahner, the Jesuit, and Edward Skillebeck, the Dominican, both have substituted other words for transubstantiation, like transignification, transfinalization. And as you may remember from our classes, was it last semester? And I quoted from the parish bulletin of St. Patrick's in Brighton. The parish bulletin quoted verbatim from those heretical teachings, There's no real presence. What's in the tabernacle? A piece of bread. The meaning, the signification has changed, but not its substance. No wonder so many Catholics nowadays just will not genuflect before the Blessed Sacrament. You don't genuflect before a piece of bread. Now, something of description of the errors. We cannot possibly go through this whole list, but I thought I should provide you with, say, an inventory of the errors denied, that is, the truths denied, at mid-century 1950, in the last 45, 46 years. Every one of those errors has deeply infected the Catholic Church. And that, my friends, that is a reason why attendance at Mass in our country has dropped by 75%. That's the reason why seminaries have lost 90% of their seminarians from 1965 to 1995. That's the reason why Archdiocese of Detroit closed 42 parishes. The faith has been deeply damaged and widely lost. What I said before in introducing today's classes, remember? I want with all my heart to continue classes here next semester. But I want to make sure that I'm not talking to people for whom the faith is, well, just another person's opinion. My vow of obedience to the Holy Father is to teach the faith to those who understand the faith, might preserve the faith themselves, restore the faith where it has been lost, and strengthen the faith where it is weak. Mysteries of faith can be expressed only in approximate notions. That's not true. Theology dare not replace, as they call them, old ideas with new ones, the equivalent but still opposed to the old. And I cannot tell you how important it is to know your English Catholic vocabulary. When I wrote the Modern Catholic Dictionary, as I've said more than once, the most non-Catholic language in the whole world is English. And the reason is, I think I've also explained, as the editors of the unabridged Webster's Dictionary, 3rd edition, wrote, it is no longer possible to publish an English dictionary which defines the meaning of words. Why not? Because the English-speaking world is so confused. They cannot even publish a dictionary anymore, which defines the meaning of English words. You read 10 authors, you'll see the same words, and they'll have 10 different meanings. You know, the language of the world is so confused. Then, the correction of errors. These teachings contain or lead to what the Holy Father calls dogmatic relativism. Although they can be improved, the terms employed in traditional Catholic theology are more than the products of a passing system of thought. In other words, you must know your Catholic vocabulary. The words we use have been used for centuries. And you just don't change either the word or its meaning. Transubstantiation means transubstantiation. The word was used already in the early 13th century. Then the judgment on these errors, in other words, the more confused people are on the words they are using here in English, the more liable they are to fall into deep error, both in the church's faith and in morality. Errors about the church's magisterium. A listing of errors. The teaching authority is considered as an obstacle. Neglect of decrees that condemn teachings with a note less than heresy. What are we being told? There are truths of the faith which to deny is heresy. But there are many other truths of the faith that are not defined by the church. Can we just casually say, I don't believe it because it's not been defined? Hear it. Most of the Catholic Church's teaching has not been defined. Do you hear me? In other words, definitions have been made over the centuries and continue being made, but mainly because of errors. An error crops up, and the church then begins to teach as heretical a doctrine which has become popular. For example, the ordination of women. Over the centuries, until Marxism penetrated the world, the United States, I am saying this from 50 years in the priesthood, the United States is one of the leading Marxist nations in the world. Some would say it is the leading Marxist country in the world today. Our president is a full-blooded, unqualified Marxist. among the teachings of Marxism, which have deeply penetrated the Western world, is that there is no progress without conflict. We commonly associate Karl Marx with promoting conflict between the rich and the poor, or capital and labor. That's amateur Marxism. What Karl Marx looked forward to was a world in which there would be a deep conflict between women and men. Marxism is established in every country where feminism is part of the people's culture. I began reading Karl Marx, I've told some of you many times, at the age of 14, being of Byzantine origin. America is a Marxist nation. And consequently, there is no definition, no solemn definition by the church that women cannot be ordained priests. So, can we then talk about the ordination of women as though it is legitimate Catholic teaching? No. It is heresy. Why? Because if that's been the teaching since the New Testament was written. Correction of false errors. Popes sometimes decide controverted questions. But notice, sometimes. Encyclicals are organs of the ordinary magisterium. And thus, the next sentence is very important. When popes speak out so as to deliver a judgment on matter that has previously been controverted, that matter is no longer open to question. And if, and in an encyclical, the Pope intends what he writes in an encyclical to bind all the Catholic faithful, that teaching in an encyclical is absolutely, unqualifyingly infallible. The grave sinfulness of contraception is infallible teaching. As you see, we could now go on. But I thought here's what I would do. We do have already some questions, right?
Yes, that's fine.
What I thought I would do, since we should finish by 4:30, I'm leaving for Washington this evening, and make sure that we get our Mass in, that I don't miss my plane. So I have Mass, I think I told you, instead of at 5, at 4:30 in the Convent Chapel. I would then like to now answer the questions. If we have time to go back to these, we'll do that. Otherwise, would you read the question?
Sure. Was Teilhard de Chardin ahead of his time?
Was Teilhard de Chardin
ahead of his time?
Well, if by ahead of his times, the question meant, or we normally mean, the answer is absolutely no. Teilhard de Chardin was absolutely wrong. Was he ahead of his times in preparing for the deluge of errors that the world would be drowning in by the end of the 20th century? The answer is yes.
If a person already goes to Mass daily, should he also spend additional time before the Eucharist daily?
I would say, of course, yes. And the more I talk this way, you might be saying to yourself, Heavenly Father knows the real world in which we are living. I've got to go to work. I've got this to do and that to do. I would say emphatically yes. Find time to be with Jesus Christ. Where there is no one in heaven or on earth in whose presence it is more important to be.
Does a deposed bishop still have any priestly or bishop functions like saying Mass or ordaining priests?
Does a rich?
A deposed bishop.
Deposed bishop have?
Still have priestly or bishop functions like saying Mass or ordaining priests?
It really depends on the character of the deposition. In other words, a bishop can be so deposed that he is forbidden exercise any priestly or episcopal powers. And that because, take for example a bishop like Guyot, the French bishop who spoke in Detroit. He is a scandal, first of all to his own European contemporaries. I would like to name, but I won't name, American bishops who have been forbidden by the Holy See exercise their episcopate and are doing so anyhow. So a bishop need not be totally deposed from exercising, say, his priestly powers, but he can be so deposed as to be forbidden to offer Mass. Why? Because of the scandal. And I cannot tell you what a scandal unfaithful bishops are in the United States.
Should we silently endure the abuses in the liturgy in our parish, or should we speak out and tell the truth and ask for corrections to be made? Every Mass has at least 7 or 8 serious abuses in addition to heretical teaching from the pulpit.
The answer is, in fact, canon law, for the first time in canonical history, spells out the rights of the laity, of the faithful, to bring these things to the attention of authorities, and the one at fault is a lower authority, bring it to the attention of a higher authority. We have a right to have homilies which teach the truth. We have a right to assist at Mass that is celebrated according to the dictates of the Holy See. By all means, make representation clearly, firmly.
In a recent issue of The Wanderer, the question was asked whether or not it was okay to pour the sacred blood down a special drain that emptied into the ground. The answer was that the practice was not recommended, but was allowable if the consecrated wine was diluted enough with water to break down its composition so that it was no longer wine. Could you please clarify or comment?
Now, it was diluting the wine, right?
The blood, the precious blood.
Oh, you see?
Already consecrated.
Already consecrated. Now, first of all, it is risking departing that wine of its consecrated power. Absolutely speaking, as long as the physical properties of what had been wine remain, absolutely speaking, as long as the physical properties, which, as you know, are changed by consecration. But as long as the physical properties remain, the precious blood is still there.
At my father's parish, they claim there are four new Eucharistic prayers. These are reported to come from Sweden. They will not supply copies of them to the people, claiming there are not enough printed. Have you heard about these prayers, and are they proper?
They're not about those. I do know all kinds of artificial prayers that are concocted. If I could identify them, then I could tell more.
In our parish, wedding bands are not published anymore. Has this practice stopped? If not, please comment.
The bands should be published. In other words, it is part of the church's law. And the reason is obvious. Because bands being published, those who, say, read or hear about a forthcoming marriage taking place are in conscience bound if they have serious objections that might disqualify the validity of that marriage. They should bring that to the attention of authorities.
Father, would you explain the Latin words that you saw painted on the wall in Pompeii, which means in English, Christians must be exterminated?
Yes. The Latin words that are still there read, Christiani delendi sunt. Christiani, which is Christian, with an I at the end. Delendi, D-E-L-E-N-D-I, sunt, S-U-N-T. Delere, in Latin, means to wipe out. In Latin, there is the gerundive mood. The gerundive mood is the mood of the imperative. Christians must be wiped out. Christians must be eradicated. And by the way, having quoted that from the wall of one of the buildings in Pompeii, I can tell you this. There are parts of our country where believing, fervent, papist Catholics, I use the Latin, delendi sunt, every effort is being made to wipe them out.
Did canon law and Vatican Council want to place the tabernacle outside the central place in our churches?
No. There's an article coming up in the next issue of the Catholic Faith magazine. I trust all of you are subscribing. It's a little radical on the tabernacle. And I cannot tell you how much the church's teaching on the tabernacle has been tampered with. Deeply tampered with. Until now, as I'm sure you know, there are churches don't even have tabernacles in the main body of the church. Absolutely wrong. I will use an adjective that I seldom employ. It is demonic.
What should one do if a priest drops a host during communion and after Mass rejects an offer to wipe the floor where the host had dropped? He responds that it isn't necessary.
Well, it is the church's practice has been over the centuries. When a host is dropped, some particles will always fall to the ground with the host. so it should be wiped. However, some people, as you know, do not do that. It, however, should be done.
If a bishop ordains a woman, would these ordinations automatically be invalid since the Pope does not allow women priests? I heard a German bishop ordained two women. This is a rumor.
Well, the ordination is certainly invalid. In other words, women cannot be ordained priests.
Father, I'm confused. Paul Lacoutis from The Wanderer periodical has written a booklet condemning the Campaign for Human Development, CHD. Now I find it in all parishes which I have recently entered for Mass. What is CHD's status? Can we give or should we avoid funding it because of the alleged links to abortion, Planned Parenthood, etc.? Thank you.
All the facts that I know about CHD, all the facts that I know indicate to me that money is used by EHD for causes that are emphatically not Catholic. I will then tell you to draw your own logical conclusion.
My only Mass yesterday was the evening Mass. I went also this morning. May I also go and receive Holy Communion at your 4:30 Mass today? I'll read it again. My only Mass yesterday was the evening Mass, which would be Sunday's Mass. I went also this morning. May I also go and receive Holy Communion at 4:30 today?
Fine. Excellent. In other words, you can always receive communion twice on the same day. I want a verb, use the verb, it's encouraged, not merely allowed. And just because the Sunday obligation was fulfilled by going to a Saturday night Mass, it has nothing to do. These are 24 o'clock hours. By all means, receive Holy Communion at the 4:30 Mass.
How do you answer the statement that the apostles were married and priests were married in the early church, so why not today?
Well, the apostles, even though they were married, the church's teaching is that those who had been married, once they became apostles, did no longer live a married life. That's number one. Secondly, celibacy was practiced by Christ himself, and that is the first and primary reason for celibacy. However, celibacy became the practice in the church already in apostolic times, and by the early 4th century became a law, because it was found, and this is common experience, the church flourishes, she grows, she develops when her priesthood and episcopate are living faithful celibate lives. Even where, therefore, celibacy is replaced by a married priesthood, even there, the church prefers, to use a very mild verb, prefers a celibate priesthood and a celibate episcopate. And the main reason, I repeat, is to be more and more like Jesus Christ.
Have you or will you write a study guide for Pope John Paul II's Tercio Millennio Adviente, or as the third millennium draws near?
I didn't read the first part.
Will you write a study guide for Pope John Paul's Tercio Millennio Adviente?
I will do my best to write a study guide. All I need, obviously, is more time.
And that's all the questions we have.
Okay. Very well. Shall we continue then? I did want to finish the questions which you turned in. If you have any more to turn in, by all means do so. Let's look at errors about the authority of the Scripture. Sections 22 through 24. First, a listing of the errors. Misinterpretation of dogma that God is the author of the Scriptures. Now, this needs to be kept clear today. Sacred Scripture is divinely not just authorized, but authored. The Holy Spirit is the author of the Scriptures, the divine author. The human author is guided by the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, there are not many biblical scholars today that you can read safely who will not confuse you on this very issue, disclaiming that God is the author of Scripture. Because if and since God is the author of Scripture, there is no error in sacred Scripture. I think I did share this with at least some of you. I had a buffet.